share a word with you this morning. We'll be coming out of Hebrews chapter 11. We'll read verses 1 through 13, then we'll drop down and we'll read verse 23 through 29. You can write that down. We're coming out of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 13, then we'll drop down to verse 23 through 29. Amen? Are you there? It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Somebody say he was caught up. And was not found because God had translated him. For because his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not yet as seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Not the fear, the type of fear that we're so scared, but the fear of being in respect of God and what God has spoken to him. By the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness by, which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go in, out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which he had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, as also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We drop down to 23 through 29. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. People of God, I know that we are living in some difficult times, perilous times, uncertain times. And there is one thing that I know, is that God is still in control. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We have to understand that through the difficulty, through the uncertainty, and through these perilous times that we witness and go through ourselves, I want to share with you this morning out of this faith chapter. The theme of this chapter is faith, but there is something I want to bring to your attention and will be the title of this message. Just wait on. I want to point that out. As we have read the text in this faith chapter, we make plans concerning our life, but God has already purposed our life before we were in our mother's womb.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And some Bibles, the translation says, to give you a future. I give you a testimony about myself, and that was part of what I was talking about earlier about my life. I graduated from school in 1986 in high school. I was good in drafting, technical drafting, so I decided that I wanted to go to Texas Tech University and major in architecture. Before I even enrolled in Texas Tech, at the end of the year, I won Best in Show here. I had won trophies and medallions and ribbons and stuff like that, and because I was good at my craft. And so that inspired me to go to another level with this, not only the technical, but structural, architectural, building skyscrapers and doing all the designing, these type of things. And so when I went, I wasn't ready. I wasn't mature enough because there were so many things that influenced the outcome of my life. But when you turn it around full circle, when I came back around, God opened up some doors for me and put some people in my path that I was able to go back to school many years later. I didn't do what I planned out to do, but God already had a plan for me. He knows the thoughts and the plans. Y'all ain't hearing me today. He knows the thoughts and the plans that he had for you. Thoughts are good, because if I'd have went on to be an architect, I probably wouldn't be living here in Lubbock. I probably would be living in New York somewhere, Chicago, Los Angeles somewhere, trying to get my money because of the designs that I had created. You know, because I know that I was created in his image and his likeness, and I know that I would have the ability because my daddy is created. And so now that's how we come up with, that's why we come up with inventions and all these type of things. But then I would have never been able to meet my helpmeet that, you know, sometimes we plan, oh, that's my high school sweetheart, we're going to be together forever and all that. Yeah, I had a girlfriend when I was in high school, and then we thought we was going to be together forever, but she married to somebody else. I'm married to my beautiful wife right here. I wouldn't have it no other way. So that's one thing that wouldn't happen. And so I found myself going back to school, being able to be mature enough, because he knows the thoughts and the plans that he had for me, thoughts of good to give me an expected end. And so now I'm actually doing what I was supposed to do. And even in high school, and even in elementary, even in the neighborhood, that I've always been a leader. And I didn't understand why God was always putting me in the front, because he already know the thoughts and the plans that he had for me. Yeah. Even in the neighborhood, I was able to organize it and do all these kind of things. We used to play other streets, and we used to go up to TGNY and get the same report. Sometimes we weren't doing the right thing, but we'll get the same type of shirts, and we'll be color coordinated when we go play other streets, because we were organized and we was unified. And I was able to bring things together and be able to organize things. And I didn't understand why, but God was preparing me for the future. And sometimes, you know, we be young. I'm going to be a professional football player. You don't know what you're going to be. But you know God knows what you're going to be. And even in high school, I was a leader on the team. And I when I think back, that when we got in at the end of practice, we always ended with a prayer, with the Lord's Prayer. And guess who led the prayer? I was the one that was leading the prayer. I didn't think I was going to be no pastor. I didn't want to be no pastor. I didn't know I was going to be studying the Word. But God knows the thoughts and the plans that they have. I thought I was going to go to school and be an architect. It wasn't that I didn't have the ability to do it. And I can remember we was riding on the bus, and I was going to Austin, Texas, where they have the state competition. And we had the bus. It was mixed up with all different schools. They had Monterey on it, Coronado. And I was sitting up behind these two gentlemen, and they was talking about my drawing, and they didn't understand why I had got Best in Show, why I had that big trophy, and why it was on display and being in the spotlight. and they was talking about my drawing and this, that, and other. They didn't know that the drawing they was talking about, the person who had designed it and that was sitting right behind me. And they was like, I wonder who this guy is. And I spoke up. I said, that was my drawing. And they went to going back on what they were saying. They went, what really, what was that? I said, well, really what it was, I said, it was the, it was, you know how you get a bolt and the thing that in the back? What I did was open it up and showed all the details of the mechanical things that was on the inside of the motor. That's called technical drafting. It shows you the parts to it. And you had the little graph over at the side that described each part that was inside of the motor. And then I got creative with it. I put film paper and I designed it and I shaded it. And I put some two eyes at the bottom and I made it creative. And it captured the attention of the judges. Yeah. And they gave me best in show. But God already knew the thoughts and the plans that he had for me. Even in my mother's womb, that he was preparing me. We have to understand the preparation time that we go through. But we have to learn how to wait on God. I'm already preaching a little bit. And so when you think about this, the word is true all by itself. And when you look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I was gifted with an anchor in the office. And I was looking at that today when I was thinking about this message. And my wife got my office all decorated. But this is the first part of the scripture that is an anchor. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But what it says even farther, it says in the next verse, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And that's the problem. God already knows the plans and thoughts that he have for you, for your future and everything. But a lot of times we make plans that we don't never get to fulfill because that wasn't in the purpose of God. I thought I was going to be an architect. I thought I was going to be living in Chicago. I thought I was going to be living in New York. I thought I was going to be living maybe in Los Angeles or some other country, designing skyscrapers and all these type of things. I had the ambition, but I wasn't mature enough. And then one thing that I realized is that I was leaning to my own understanding. I wasn't acknowledging God in all my ways, and in my own ways, it led me down some different paths. See, because in this particular scripture, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. See, God is the one that's in control. I talked about that earlier. And so when we trust in God, but while you are trusting in God with your future, you got to just wait on it. Even in Hebrews, let's look at Hebrews. Go to Hebrews 10 and 35, Steve. Hebrews 10 and 5. So while you're trusting and waiting on God, somebody say, just wait on it. Hebrews 10 and 35. Y'all make sure y'all write these scriptures now. Yes, sir. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. See, when we let God do it, there's a reward in it. But man, we get so impatient with what God has planned for our life, and we try to go down our own path. I read somewhere in the Bible where it says, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. Because we look at it in our own ways. This is the street I need to go now. And a lot of times we're not sensitive to the Spirit of God that's on the inside. Great is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And so what God does is he placed a GPS system in our system. And he tells you exactly where to go. He tells you exactly where to turn. He tells you exactly what to say. And sometimes, just like that little voice on a GPS system, we try to tune out God because it gets on our nerves. I don't know about you, but God be trying. And sometimes it don't make no sense. And you say, well, I'm going to go this way and mess around and you get lost. But if you follow the instructions of what's placed on the inside of you and lean not to your own understanding and acknowledge God, not in some of your ways. examples? Because we just waiting, right? You know, we get impatient. You got to wait. You go in the waiting room for the doctor. They taking too long. You get in the line and try to get your cheeseburger. They taking too long. You try to go and be on the phone waiting on. They take too long. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Maybe they know. I ain't talking about none of y'all. But if you just wait on God. See, God's timing. One day is like a thousand years. God is not in a rush. He already knows what he's doing. We got to learn how to trust in God. Somebody say, just wait on me. So, when you think about this example that I want to use, even in this faith chapter in 11, we know that it is impossible to please God, but those that come to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We know that faith moves God. And even Jesus Christ, he walked by some people. That's why I understand that there's some people that is specifically assigned to me. There is some people that is specifically assigned to you. You ain't going to stop by everybody. Everybody not going to listen to you, Steve. But there's somebody that's specifically been assigned to you, even at Raleigh Industrial, that they're going to listen to what you have to say. And it's some of those same people that's been around you, and you think that they'll listen when you start talking that God talk, they don't tune you out. But it's going to be somebody that's specifically assigned to you that they're going to listen to what you have to say. And I know that it's somebody that's specifically assigned to me, and they're going to listen to what I have to say. Even Jesus Christ himself, that the Bible says that he couldn't even get love in his own hometown. They got familiar with him. And that's why some of your kinfolk won't listen to you, because they think that they're familiar with you. And when you start talking something good and relevant, they don't want to listen to nothing you have to say. Because all they can think about is how you used to be, and they can't think about how you are right now. And the only one that got you in the place that you're in right now is God himself. Somebody say, just wait on. But no, oh man, you remember Noah? God gave Noah some specific instructions to build an ark. Every nail, every piece of wood, all different type of wood. Brother Stevie told him where to go get the wood. He told him how much wood. And Noah, he told Noah to build an ark, and the people that was familiar with Noah would listen to what he had to say. But this thing didn't happen till 120 years. Noah waited 120 years for this to come to pass. God is not, he's not a rush. But he already knew the thoughts and the plans that he had toward Noah. And the impact that it was going to make, because he listened to what God said. And no matter how long, I can imagine he could have got discouraged. 120 years waiting on what God had said, but he waited, and here come the rain that people never knew. And then they realized when they shut, the Bible says that they shut the door of the ark. I wish you would, I hope you don't get caught, the door gets shut on you because you think you got so much time. God has been in control of time, and there's nothing outside of God because he is time. Noah waited 120 years. God prepares us in the waiting. Even now, as you trust God, he is preparing you for your future. I was good in football. I was good in baseball. I was good in architecture. And I made a plan for my life. But that wasn't the plan that God had for my life. And though I wasn't acknowledging God in all my ways, that even though the things that he had planned for my life was delayed, but it wasn't denied. And so it took a little bit long. See, God is not he's not in a rush. See, we are God's masterwork. He knows how to get the painting just right. That's just like an artist. He said, well, I'm going to put a little bit of this, and I'm going to put a little contrast in this, and I'm going to put a border around this. And that's what God does with you. He has such long-suffering and mercy towards us. His mercies are new every morning. And so even though we think that we got it all planned out, but God already knew the plans that he had for you, thoughts and plans that he had to give you in the future. And here it was, I thought I was going to be an architect. But here I am, a pastor, doing nonprofit stuff and doing community outreach and meeting new people and starting my own business. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. And yeah, I always had a desire, because he'll give you the desires of your heart, that he put some people in my path that was able to give me a substantial amount of money for me to go back to school and to get my degree. But look at all that other stuff that I had to go through because of my own doing, because I was leaning to my own understanding. But it did not affect. It delayed it, but it did not. See, because God's promises are yea and amen. And God already knew that he was preparing me, even when I was a young boy, that I was coming to the front, and I didn't know why I wanted to be the leader. I didn't know why I wanted to lead things. I didn't know why I wanted to organize things. I didn't know that, but God had already created that in me. He had already placed that in me, because he already knew the outcome of the plan of my life.
Amen, sir. Thank you.
Even from when I was a youth in the community. Amen. Even when I started playing organized sports. Even when I was in high school, and even now that I've planned different events in this community, in the community of Lubbock, and now that I'm here as a pastor, that I didn't know that I was going to be a leader.
Good pastor. Thank you, God.
But the leader was in me.
Yeah.
Because God placed it there.
That's right.
And I had to go through some preparatory things, some preparatory things to get me to where I'm at, to be able to handle what I'm handling. And so I went through some tough times in my life, and it helped me to endure and to have tough skin and to be able to deal with different personalities, that God had me in a place to where I could be in solitude and not be able to hear and to be around violent people and to be able to learn how to be able to coexist and to be able to learn different personalities and deal with different personalities and all these type of things. That God was molding me. Because he already knew the thoughts and the plans that he had for me. And so Noah, look at all that time that he was had to be prepared. God was preparing him for 120 years when the first drop fell from the heavens. And then it started filling the earth. And the Bible says that it rained 40 days and 40 nights. But through the preparatory time that he went through, that he was able and he was ready for the moment. And when it filled up the earth and people were drowning, when the door was shut, he was in safety because he was inside the safetyness of God. So often we want to rush God. It's like if we don't get an answer right away, it doesn't mean that you are denied. We can be impatient sometimes. Somebody say, just wait.
Just wait.
Somebody say, just wait on it. Can I use another example? Do y'all remember Abraham? It was counted unto him for righteousness sake of God. And Abraham trusted God, but he had to wait on it. God had a plan for Abraham that we all can be blessed through the seed that was promised. At one time, Abraham leaned to his own understanding because he was persuaded by his wife Sarah.
Yes, sir.
Y'all remember?
I remember.
Even Abraham, that God had spoke to Abraham, and he told him to go to a country that he knows not.
Uh-huh.
He said, "I want you to do." And we got to pay attention to our surroundings. That God had to get Abraham away from the persuasion, because he already knew that he was probably going to be easily persuaded. He said, you got to get off and around the persuasion. In other words, he said, get off and around your kindred. It's in the Bible.
Yep.
In other words, translation to way we understand it, get off and around your kinfolk. He said, get off and around your kinfolk and go to a country that you know not. Well, in order for him to do that, to be in a familiar place, to where he had income and the way of life and living and all that, to leave, pack up and leave, and to trust God to go to a place that he knows not, you have to trust in God and have faith in God that God will provide. If God tells you to move, you best believe he's going to make provision.
Oh, yeah, you show right now.
Abraham packed up, and he went to a country that he knew not. And God told him to look up, look at the stars. He gave him a couple of examples of how plentiful the blessing would be. He said, look at the stars. He said, even look at the sand. You know you can't count all that sand. He said, but he was giving him an understanding of the overflow of the blessing. And he said that the blessing going to come from you. But what you need to do, somebody say, just wait on me. If you just wait on me, I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. See, God is not a man that he should lie. It's not a man that he should repent. If God said it, he's going to do it. But we got to learn how to wait and trust on God in the process as we go through that preparatory stage. And so Abraham, he was listening to his wife. And even when he shared it with his wife, the Bible says that she lied within herself, because she was looking in the natural of her age. But if you read in the faith chapter, the Bible says that God gave her strength to be able to conceive. God will provide everything that you need, even strength. I know we go through some tough times, but God will give you strength. I know that, God, we encounter some people, but God will give you strength. We know that people get on our nerves sometimes, but God will give you strength. We know that the job may be difficult, but God will give you strength. He gave Sarah strength to be able to conceive. But at one time, she lagged within herself. And it was taking too long because she couldn't wait. And that's how Ishmael came about. Because you remember the persuasion? I just believe that that's the reason why he told him to get it. Man, I can't put it in you and to show you, because you're going to be persuaded by people that's not even living. Quit listening to folk that don't care nothing about God. Quit listening to folk that's always talking about folk. They can't give you nothing valuable. What does the word say? And we connect with people in these different relationships, and we getting counsel from them, and you looking at their life, and I'm like, hold up, swallow them up. They can't give you no godly counsel. Do not listen to the counsel of the ungodly. And sometimes people can make it seem like they all godly, and they all this and all that in the word, because they quote a few scriptures, and they might know a few scriptures more than you. But we read in the Bible that even the devil can transform himself into an angel of light. And he can make himself appear to be one way, but all of a sudden he's all the other way all the time. Abraham had to wait. And he told him, he said, that's not it. He said, you got to wait. I made the promise. That's not the blessing. That's not the seed. And here come Isaac, right? Was it Isaac? Here come Isaac. That was the promise. And so we got to understand that he had to wait, but we got to be careful of who we listen to, because he was persuaded by his wife, Sarah. People of God, be careful in your waiting and continue to trust in God. Can I use one more example before we get ready to close in a bit? Do y'all got it though, right? Y'all got it, right? But can I use another example? Remember Moses? He's in the faith chapter. Moses waited for his calling. He waited 40 years for his calling. And God met him on the other side of the mountain. Here it was that he didn't even want to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
That's right. That's right.
And he saw the injustice while he was in Egypt. Right. That's how he ended up murdering the ones that was doing the people of God wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he fled, right? And here he was tending somebody else's sheep, his father-in-law, Jethro. You remember Jethro played an intricate part in giving him counsel when he told him, say, man, you can't do this. This a lot of people, man. But then he had to wait 40 more years, because you remember they was in the wilderness. And look at all that time that went by that Moses had to wait. But when his waiting was over, he was ready to lead a mega church exodus out of Egypt. But all this time, he had to wait and trust on God. Even in the wilderness, he had to trust in God. So God had a plan for Moses. Even when Pharaoh decreed to kill all the male seed, you remember when he was a young boy and they rolled him down the river. And it was intended for him to be killed, but God knows the thoughts and the plans that he have for you, thoughts of good to give you in the future. And so God already knew what he had planned for, but he had to wait. Somebody said, just wait for it. And he had to wait 40 years, and then he had to wait 40 more years. But when those years was over, he was ready. But during that waiting period, he was being prepared to bring all these hard-headed people out of Egypt. And the people were crying and murmuring, and they was taking doggy bags. When God said, just get this amount, the people wouldn't listen. They were building golden calf. See, he was preparing them for what was going to happen. Somebody said, just wait for it. But God, Moses had to wait, and he led a mega church out of Egypt. I want you to understand this scripture in conclusion to this message. Just wait for it. I read in my Bible, the same Bible you got. I don't have no different Bible. It might be a different translation, but it's the same Bible. It's the same 66 books that's in the Bible. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it became so clear to me. My God, I read it in the Bible, and it says, but they, talking about us, that wait upon the Lord. Just, somebody said, just wait on it. It's telling us right here in the Bible. It says, for those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They got that same strength he was talking about. The same strength he gave Sarah to conceive. He said that the Lord shall renew their strength. He said they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Boy, God wants to take us higher and higher, and we want to lean to our own understanding and stay down here on the ground. We're not going higher, but we're staying in the same old place, and all these years are going by, and we think that God has denied us, but he hasn't denied us, but it's been delayed because we lean into our own understanding, because God already knows the thoughts and the plan that he has for us. And he said that you are man up with wings like eagles. God wants us to soar over everything that's trying to keep us bound. He wants to take us higher. That's why they always went up in the mountain, because they needed to go higher. And even when they was leaving Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, go out. I want to go to the little city that's up yonder. And he said that they went up. He said, but don't look back. And see, God gives us instructions for our good. But Lot's wife looked back, and the Bible says that she turned into a pillar of salt. And that's what happens, that we lean into our own understanding, and we find ourselves looking back. But all we got to do is acknowledge God in all our ways. Don't lean to your own understanding, but trust in God. He said that you'll mount up with wings as eagles. He said they shall run and not be weary. I wish you would keep on running. I don't care how hard it gets. I don't care how difficult it is. I don't care if you see like the resources done dried up. Just keep running. I bet you won't get weary. But trust in God. And they shall walk and not faint. People of God, we must learn to trust God even when life doesn't make sense. Amen? I hope this word bless you today. Somebody say, just wait for it. God knows the thoughts and the plans that he has for you. Thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Trust in God. Amen? Praise God. We thank God for you today.
We thank God for his word. And we know that God is in control of all things. But people of God, remember to lean not to thine own understanding. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. But in all your ways, not some of your ways, all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Notice on path, it got an S on it. God know where to send you. He know what road for you to get on. Let us all stand. We have a corporate prayer. If there's anything specific that you want me to pray while we're having a corporate prayer, I sure will insert that in our prayer. We want to put them in place. We know God puts our prayers in a Bible. We read that in Revelations. He beholds it in the Bible. Isn't that awesome? It's like an aroma to him. The Bible says it's like an odor. I'm so thankful that when I lean to my own understanding, that it was some people, it was some prayer warriors, my grandmother, my mother, other people that loved me and cared about my future, that they was praying for me, and God put all their prayers in a Bible. God is so good to us. He's so loving. He's so awesome. He's so miraculous. He's so gentle. He's so merciful. And we thank God for his opportunity for us to praise him, that we was created to worship him. Amen? Let us bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word everlasting, God. We thank you for your word that makes the difference. And God, we will wait on you, God, because we want to mount like the wings of an eagle, God. Oh, God, we want to run, God, and not grow weary. We want to walk, God, and not faint. But, God, we know that you want to take us higher, God, and sometimes we make plans, God, and they fall mid-flight, God. But you already know the thoughts and the plans that you have for us, God. Thoughts are good and not of ease to give us that expected end, to give us that future, God. And so, God, we want to yield to your spirit, God. We know that you have placed a GPS system on the inside of us to tell us which way to go, God. And so, God, we want to be careful, God, of our surroundings and the people that we receive information from and the advice that we get from them, God. And so, God, we pray for everyone on the sound of our voice, God. We thank you, God, for touching their bodies, God, where there might be sickness and affliction. We thank you for your healing virtue, God, even in our family members, God. We thank you for saving our family members that's not saved, God. We thank you, God, for watching over those, God, that might be suffering right now, God, with resources, God. We thank you, God, that you took care of the sparrow, God, and the lilies, God, of the field. They tore them out, God. And so, God, oh, God, we know that you created us to have a relationship with you, God. And so, God, we thank you for speaking to their hearts and even those that might have overflowing their resources, God, to be able to extend and give out to help others, God. You say we lend to the poor, God, that we will never lack, God. And so, God, we thank you, God, that we can be a help to one another, God. And so, God, we honor you today, God. We pray for our city. We pray for this neighborhood, God. Oh, change the mindset. Let there be a renewing of the mind, God. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Let them have respect for you, God, and even God's people, God. And so, God, we thank you and we praise you, God, that we'll be vigilant of our surroundings and always alert, God. That we won't receive anything, God, because we know sometimes there's a hidden agenda, God. Oh, God, we don't know what that man had in that cup that he was trying to give my wife, God. But, God, I thank you for your protection, God. You said that your protection is complete, God. That the enemy come in one way, God, but you are scattered in seven ways, God. Protect us when we're in our home. Protect us when we're riding down the street in our car. Protect us when we're on our jobs, God, or wherever we go, God, when we go in the store, God. And so, God, we speak the blessings, God, over this community, God. Oh, God, we thank you for change, God. We thank you, God, for our nation being changed, God, and watch over our children and our teachers and everyone that's in the school system, God. We thank you right now for covering us, God. In the name of Jesus, God, watch over, God, this nation, God. Even, God, our president, God, as he makes decisions, the cabinet, God, the representatives, the House of Senate, God. We thank you, God, for the protection of our armed service in the four corners of the world, God. The Army, the Air Force, Force, the Navy, the Marines, God, the Coast Guard, oh God, the National Guard, and every other guard, God. Watch over our police officers, God, in the name of Jesus, God. So we thank you, God, for the renewing of the mind in our young people, our young adults, God, in the name of Jesus, that they'll know, God, that they don't have to sell drugs and do all other things, God, to get income, God, because you said in your word that you give us the power to get wealth, God. We believe your word, every last word of it, God. All of it, the whole scroll, God, so we shall eat it, God. So we thank you and we praise you, God. Oh, God, as we leave this place, but the devil leave your presence, God. And count your angels around about us, God, until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. You are